The Beis HaLevi has an interesting essay at the end of the second volume of his Shabbos HaTshuvos. He has long drushes there. So one long essay, he explains based on passages in the Drushim and in the Zohar that the original plan that the Ribbono Shel Olam had on Shavuos was that there's just going to be a Torah Shebichzav. But then after they sinned with the Chet Ve'egel, so Ribbono Shel Olam was goyzer that the Umma Yisraelim should have Shlita on Bnei Yisrael. If we wouldn't have sinned with the Chet Ve'egel, the Medrash says the Umma Yisraelim would never have any Shlita on us. Because we sinned, so they're going to have Shlita. They're going to have Shlita, so they're going to take the Torah Shebichzav. And they're going to claim that they're the Yam HaNivcha. That's what the Catholics were claiming for 2,000 years, for 1,500 years. That the Jews are no longer the Yam HaNivcha. They have the Torah, they're the Yam HaNivcha. So when the Torah was given the second time on Yom Kippur, so the Ribbono Shel Olam decided he has to have two parts to the Torah. That's the Torah Shebichzav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is only going to be uniquely for the Bnei Yisrael. Torah Shebichzav we share with the Umma Yisraelim. They're permitted to learn it. Torah Shebaal Peh is only for the Bnei Yisrael. So the Mogen Avraham points out that there are differences between Torah Shebichzav and Torah Shebaal Peh. It says in Shulchan Aruch that the minig is that in the morning before you start Pesukah Dezimra, before Baruch Shamar, so you recite Shlish. The Gemara says a person should always learn every day Shlish b'Mikra, Shlish b'Mishnah, Shlish b'Talmud. A little bit Tanakh, and a little bit Mishnayis, and a little bit Gemara, Pilpul. So the Rambam understands what it means is that a person's learning should be balanced. One third of his total knowledge should be in Tanakh. One third of one's total knowledge should be Halacha L'Maaseh, that's Mishnayis. And one third of one's total knowledge should be in Gemara, to know how to derive Din Echad Mechaveira. And the Goyim didn't learn like that. The Goyim learned that Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud is a Din and Kviyas Itim LaTorah. You have an obligation to be Kaveh Itim LaTorah every day. So they understood you have to learn a little bit of Shmek topic of Tanakh every day, and a little bit of Halacha L'Maaseh every day, and a little bit of Gemara every day. So that's what the Goyim instituted, that we say Yivrach Hashem Yishmarecha, we say Brichas HaTorah in the morning, we say Psukim from Chumash, then you say Korban Tomid, a little bit of Chumash, then you say Ozel Mekoyman, is Mishnayis, and then we say the Braiser Rebbe Shmuel Lomer, Yud Gimel Midas HaTorah Ned Reshes Bam. We're not really discussing deriving, with discussing the Midas HaTorah Ned Reshes Bam. How are you supposed to derive Dinim? How are you supposed to come along to figure out what the Dinim are? So that's the Shitas HaGadim like that. So the Mogen Avraham has a comment that if a person doesn't understand Ezel Mekoyman, he just rattles through what it says in the Siddur, so there's no Kima Mitzvah. When it comes to Torah Shebaal Peh, you have to have Havana if you don't understand. So it's a waste of your breath. If you read Tanakh, that's Dibrei Elokim Chayim. A person says Tilim, and a person says Ma'aseh Sedra, even if he doesn't understand. If he understands, it's certainly an enhancement. It's a deeper level of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But even if he doesn't understand, this is the text that was dictated in Hashemayim, even the Vim Ksuvim. Also, that is the text of Torah Shebichzav, so even if one doesn't understand. But Torah Shebaal Peh, if the person doesn't understand, so there's no Kima Mitzvah at all. There's a famous Rosh in Bava Kama seems to point out another difference between Torah Shebichzav and Torah Shebaal Peh. The Bala Tanya has this based on passages from the Zohar. The Rosh in the second parak in Bava Kama is talking about Tzruris. There's a din of Shem V'Regel that if a behemah goes B'shus HaNizik, and it makes a hezek there by walking, by trampling someone's property, or the behemoth nibbles on the food over there, so the bala behemoth has to pay shem v'regel. So what happens if the behemoth is walking in someone else's backyard and accidentally kicks up pebbles, and the pebbles smash a window, the pebbles smash something else? So it's not that the behemoth is mazik directly, it's indirectly. So the Gemara says that there's a halacha l'moshe misinai that the bala behemoth only pays chatzi nezek. That's how Rashi entices him. That Tzuris, Hilchus HaGemiri Lo, Salocha L'Moshe Misina. The Rambam does not write like that. The Rambam, whenever the Gemara says Hilchus HaGemiri Lo, the Rambam is careful not to write Halocha L'Moshe Misina. He'll write Bimpi HaShmua Lomdu. Means that it was derived in the earlier generation, the din was established like that, and the later generation, when the Gemara was composed, they forgot what the derivation was. The Rambam, he's very careful. Whatever the Gemara says Hilchus HaGemiri Lo, the Rambam will be careful, he won't write that it's halacha moshe misina. But Rashi and Taisus and the Rosh learn like that it's halacha moshe misina. So the Gemara clears our shaila. What's the nature of this halacha moshe misina that the behema who's mazik ayde tsururis, kicking up the pebbles, it's indirect, it's ayde koicha, it's not the gufoy, it's ayde koicha. What's the nature of the din over here? Is the ikra din the koicha kigufoy, and it's a kul over here? The Halacha Moshe Mesinai says that the balabeim only pays chatzi nezek. Or maybe the ikra din is a koicha is lav kigufoy. So odom mazik ayde koicha. That a person is walking and he kicks up pebbles and he smashes a window. Is it din that he's chayv or is it din that he's potter? So maybe the din is that he's potter and the chiddush by tzuris is lachumra. Maybe the din that Adam is chayv nezik shalom and the din by tzuris is lakula. Right, Adam Udli Olam, that's if he's mazik directly, the Adai. What if he's mazik indirectly? Are you the groma? The groma ben ezik and his potter, even though he made a big hefsid. So maybe koicha is called groma. Maybe it's only mazik if it's direct. He takes a hammer and he smashes the window. But if he throws the hammer from here and he's only mazik alidei koicha, maybe that's called groma. Then maybe groma ben ezik and his potter. So Rabbi clears the shaila, what's the din? And he doesn't have any rayas one way or the other. And then the Gemara says, basa debaya hada pashte. After he raised the issue, he was pushed the suffek that really koicha is kegufay, that if the Adam throws the hammer at the window, he smashes his chayv nezik shalem, that it's not called groma ben ezikin. And by the tzurus, the halach Moshe Messina is lakula. So the Rosh asks that whenever the Gemara has such a style that someone asked the shaila, had an ibaya, bayalahu, and he thought about it, and then it says, basa debaya, hada pashte, after thinking about it, he was pashit. So they tell you why he was pashit. He quoted a pasuk, he quoted a mishnah, he quoted a braisa, a svara. Here the Gemara doesn't say any mocker at all, no svara, no mishnah, just says, basa debaya, hada pashte, after he cleared, rabbi cleared the shaila. But the tzvur says halachal moshe mesina lahakal alahachmer. So he was poshet that the halachal moshe mesina is lahakal. Why was he poshet like that? The Gemara doesn't explain why he was poshet like that. So the Rosh postulates a klal. This Rosh is quoted by Achronim. The Rosh postulates a klal that halachal moshe mesina is always lahakal. You never have halachal moshe mesina lahachmer. He refers you to the sugya in the beginning of Sukkah. Beginning of Masechah Sukkah. All the Tanaim agree that you don't need a sukkah with four complete walls. So the shaila is, how many complete walls do you need? So we paskin shtayim kilchasam, two walls at a right angle to each other. Ushlishis afila tefach, the third wall a little bit. And the one Tana there, Ablezer, disagrees. You have a shalosh kilchasam, three walls U-shape, or a viyis afila tefach. So the Gemara says there's a halachal Moshe Mesinai over there that you can be makel on the last wall. So the Gemara raises the suffix, how do you read from the psukim? Would it appear from the psukim you really need four walls? And the halacha Moshe Mesina knocks off half of the fourth wall? Or the psukim indicate you need three walls and you knock off half of the third wall? Then the Gemara raises a possibility. Maybe the pasuk says you need three walls. The halacha Moshe Mesina is lahachmir, that you need another half a wall. So somehow that's forgotten about. The Gemara rejects that. So the Rosh says that's the reason why, because you never have halacha l'moshe mesina lahachma. Halacha l'moshe mesina is always lahakam. So that's what the Balatanya has. Rav Soloveitchik said it from the drushes of the Balatanya in the Likutei Torah, a pasuk in the end of Parshas Chukas, that he has a drush on the pasuk that the Torah shebichsav was given by midas hadin, more strict, and the Torah shebal peh was given by midas hachesed, more lenient. Like, for example, it says, Nechumish Ein Tachasayin. Sounds like Mami should poke out his eye. And the Torah Shebaal Peh says, not to be taken literally, it means Mamon. Or it says, when a person was sold as an Eved Ivri, a Ganach was sold as an Eved Ivri, and he doesn't want to go free after the 6 years are up, so they make a hole in his ear, in the cartilage part of the ear, Vavad Ol Yoylam, and he remains forever. So the Torah Shebaal Peh says, Til Yoylam, not to be taken literally. Because in the end of Chumash Vayikra, it says, when it comes to Yovel, the Eved Ivri goes free. So it's talking about that Eved Ivri. So the Torah Shebaal Peh is always Lahokam. So that's the famous Klal from the Rosh. So the there's a famous Medrash that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. You have Dinei Shachris, the Mincha, the Mairav. So after Hilchas Mairav, you have the Dinim of learning Torah at night. It says, V'hagisa b'yom v'layla. You're supposed to learn b'yom v'layla. If it wouldn't, that pasuk is in Yeshua. If not for that pasuk in Yeshua, whenever you have a mitzvah in the Chumash and it doesn't say how often you have to do the mitzvah, so it's understood that it's once a day, every day, like davening. It says that you have to daven, li'ovta b'chol abavchem, avodah shebelev is davening. So the Rambam writes that davening three times a day, shachris bincha ma'arva, four times a day, musa, five times a day, Ne'ila, that's only by the Rabbanim. But davening once a day, that's a dim in Atur. Because Liovda b'cholav avchem. So how does he know that it's once a day? So that's the klal from the Gemara. Whenever there's a mitzvah written in the Chumash, and it doesn't say how often it has to be observed, so it's understood it's once a day every day. The Gemara says it by duchening. The Kohanim are obligated to duchen when they're called upon. We have the minig, we don't ask him for a bracha unless it's yontif. We have such a minig, because the Kohanim are only supposed to give a bracha when they're in a good mood. So apparently they were never in a good mood, because the Jews for so many centuries had not been making a parnasa. Maybe now they're making a gewaldig parnasa. So maybe now they should duchen more often. But for many years in the Golas, there were always redifus and pogroms, and no one was making a parnasa. So that's why they weren't happy. So they didn't call upon them to duchen. So the Gemara has it in. Bizmana Gemara used to duchen every day. So the Gemara says the koinim are only mechuyev to duchen once a day every day. If they daven in the shul, but they daven in shachris and musaf, some of the rabbanon they're mechuyev to duchen by musaf also. But in Atara, they're not mechuyev to duchen more than once a day. So what if they're davening a regular Tuesday morning, and they duchen by the first minyan, and then the second minyan in the shul doesn't have a koin, and they ask the koin, we want you to duchen by us. They request it of him. So the Gemara says they're not mechuyev even by the rabbanon. They're not mechuyev to duchen more than once a day every day. So whenever you have a mitzvah in the chumash, and it's unclear how often you have to fulfill it, so it's understood it's only once a day every day.
Tefillin
also. That's we assume once a day every day. We assume. The Gemara says you're really supposed to wear tefillin all day long. So that's a machlokes achrenim. If that's lachatchila deraisa or only lachatchila midirabban. That's a machlokes arishanim also. But it's clearly a machlokes achrenim. Yeah. So many hold that tefillin is also once a day every day. Zechira Samolik is once a year, because the Zechira, the Shir Shikha, is usually assumed to be a year. After a year, people are going to forget. Like we were just talking before, Hakamas HaMatzeva. The minig is that you put up a Matzeva. Some have the minig right before the year is up, and some have the minig after the year is up already. So some have the minig. The idea of the Matzeva is not to forget the Iftar. So when it's coming, Yud Beis Chodesh, that's when people will forget. So some have the minig. You put the Matzeva before the Yud Beis Chodesh are up, so you shouldn't forget the Nifta. And some have the minig. You put the Matzeva right after the Yud Beis Chodesh, one already began to forget the Nifta, so you put up the Matzeva to remember the Nifta. Right, that's a different minig, right? But Rabbi Kivega quotes this minig either right before the Yud Beis Chodesh or right after. So that says the Chiras HaMalek is because the Shir Shikha is Yud Beis Chodesh. So that's why it's only once a year every year. So here by Talmud Torah, if not for that pasuk in Sefer Yoshua that says "V'hagisa b'yom v'alayla," we would have said that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah once a day, every day, to learn a little bit once a day, every day. So now the pasuk says no, "V'hagisa b'yom v'alayla," you have to learn once a day, every day, and once a night, every night. So what are you supposed to learn by yom v'alayla? So you learn whatever you want. So you look in the Shulchan, the commentaries on the bottom of the page in the Shulchan Aruch there, after Hilchas Mincha and Ma'ariv, so it says Hilchas Talmud Torah b'alayla. So they say, you should really, based on a medrash, like that, you should really learn Torah Shebichsav Bayom and Torah Shebal Peh Balayla. Because Laila, whatever this means, the Midas Adin is Shoyla. That's why we don't say Tachnun Balayla. We only say Tachnun by Mincha, by Shachris and by Mincha, you don't say by Mar, because Laila Midas Adin is Shoyla. Whenever the Midas Adin is Shoyla, so we don't say Tachnun. The Beis HaOvel, the Midas Adin is Shoyla. On Shabbos and Yontif, you don't say Tachna for a different reason, because it's a Yom Simcha, that's why it's a Yontif. For Shchodesh, you don't say Tachna. But the Beis HaOvel or Balayla, you don't say Tachna because it's a Midas Adin Shoyle. So because Limud Torah Shebichsav is B'Midas Adin, so that's why the minig is that we avoid learning Torah Shebichsav Balayla. We learn Torah Shebichsav Bayom. And Torah Shebal Peh, that's B'Midas Achesed, so that's okay. To learn Torah Shebal Peh Balayla is okay. The Mekubalim say, this is a quote in Shulchan Aruch, and the Be'ahetim and the Sharichu, the Mekubalim say, on Friday night it's okay, because Friday night the Midas Adin is not Shoyle, and Thursday night also you can be Mabesedra, because Thursday night already the Oros of Shabbos are already beginning to shine. So you're allowed to be Mabesedra on Thursday night, and Friday night for sure. That's what some Rishonim say. When we learned Masechah Shabbos, we came across this, that the Ralamites of his malachas, what is it based on? So the Gemara says, whatever was in the Mishkan, hachtahavi b'mishkan chashiva. The Gemara says in the first half in Bava Kama, whatever activities were important in Asiyas HaMishkan are considered in Av Malach, and whatever activities were not so significant in Asiyas HaMishkan, that can't qualify as an Av, it may or may not be a told. So the Gemara says, what about Mavra Dalaramis Bishusa? I've been carrying Dalaramis. Where do you see that in the Mishkan? So the Gemara says, you don't see it? That wasn't in the Mishkan. Dalamites Malachas were in the Mishkan. But Mavra Dalaramis is Halachal Moshe Misina. So there, the Ran and the Balamor both have the same comment. A person carries on Shabbos, he gets the death penalty. A person carries on Yontif unnecessarily, he gets Chayiv Malkus. So they say, we can design. On Halachal Moshe Misina, there's an Oinu Shaguf. There's Malkus and Misa, but they seem to assume a klal. Halacha Moshe Misina is Torah Shabbal Peh was given by Midas HaChesed, and you can't have an Ayin Shaguf on a Torah Shabbal Peh. So they say this is a different kind of Halacha Moshe Misina. The Halacha Moshe Misina of Mavra Dalaramis is that it falls under the category of Motzei Mishus Lushus. So it's considered as if it's Torah Shabbat Tzav. Sometimes you have Halacha Moshe Misina that tells you a brand new din, that there's no Mokar Chumash, and sometimes Halacha Moshe Misina put something back into a category that's in Torah Shebichsav. So the Ran and the Balamor, both the Ran gets it, quotes it, he doesn't quote B'Shem Amr, but he says he got it from the Balamor on Masech HaShabbos. The Mavad Al-Aram is Hilchus HaGmiri Lo, the Halacha Moshe Misina is that when you have a Chayfetz in the middle of the B'Shus HaRabim, so the Mokum of the Chayfetz is Dal and Amis around it. And if I pick it up and I put it over there, five Amis away, that's considered Motzei Mishus Lushus. Usually, motzei mishus lushus from mishus hayachid to mishus harabim or faket. Here, it's a motzei mishus hachefet lushus hacheres. That's the nature of the halacha moshe misina. There are two types. There's halacha hamefareshes and halacha hamechadeshes. So halacha moshe misina hamechadeshes mechadesh a brand new din. So that they assume the Balamor and the Ramban assumed there wouldn't be any oinish misa or oinish malkas because the Torah Shabbal Peh was given by midas hachesed. So you don't give an oinish aguf. But if it's halacha hamefareshes, so the halacha moshe misina declares that Mavra Dalaramis falls back into the category of motzei mishus lushus, which is Torah Shabbat Tzav, so then there will be an oinish aguf.
That wouldn't be lakula then?
No,
that one is not
lakula.
That'll
be
halacha moshe misina is always
lakula. Always lakula if it's a halacha hamechadeshes. But if it's halacha hamefareshes, then it's different, right? The Nitziv has such a discussion about priya. The Gemara says Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah of milah, but he didn't have the whole mitzvah like we have today. He was only given the mitzvah of milah. On the Eva Ha'orla, there are two membranes that cover. So the outer membrane, the upper membrane is thick skin. So that was given to Avraham Avinu to cut it off. And then the lower membrane is a much thinner membrane. So Avraham Avinu didn't have to cut that off. That was given by Yeshua ben Nun after they crossed over the Yarden, after Yitzias Mitzrayim, 40 years later. So the Pasuk says when they came to Gilgal, so they were instructed, Shuv Molad Bnei Yisrael Shenis. Everybody has to have a second bris milah. How can you have a second bris milah? There's nothing to cut. The Gemara says not, because from the days of Avraham Avinu till Yeshua ben Nun, they only cut off the Or HaOrla. And then Yeshua ben Nun was told they have to cut off the Or HaPriya also. They have to fold back the Or HaPriya. So Tosfos says, Hayitochin. The last Pasuk in Vayikra says, and the last Pasuk in Bamidbar, practically the same Pasuk says, Eilu ha-mitzvos ha-chukim ha-mishpatim, these and only these are the dinim that were told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Einovir ha-shalach ha-rish dover me'ata. No other prophet after Moshe Rabbeinu can add on a din l'doiris. The other din can give you ha-ru ha-shor. The Rebbeinu Shlom wants you to do this, the Rebbeinu Shlom wants you to do that, just temporarily. But to change the Torah, to add a 614th mitzvah, or to detract Baltoisit Baltigra, so that's the Pasuk. Einovir, no other novi other than Moshe Rabbeinu can change. How can it be that Yeshua ben Nun changed the nature of the din of Mila? And Mikanel Haba, from that time on, from the time of Gilgalan, whoever does a bris Mila on a child has to do Mila Upriya. So Tosfos says that Kasha, are you talking? You should have given the death penalty to Yeshua ben Nun. You should have declared that he's a Novi Asheker. What's going on over here? So Tosfos says, no, it must be, they have no mocker, it must be that the story was, must have been Halacha Moshe Misina given to Moshe Rabbeinu, that at some date in the future, there's going to come a Navi who's going to change this din. So Yeshua ben Nun just came and he said, I'm the Navi. Now's the time to change it. But it must be, there must have been a halacha on Moshe Misina. So the Nitziv in his Tshuvas has a discussion, what was the nature of this halacha on Moshe Misina? Is it that until now, Mila was defined as Mila, just cutting off the Or HaOrla. And now Mila means Gilo Hi HaTorah, so you have to cut off the Or HaPriya also. If you don't cut off the Or HaPriya, you didn't do Mila. Or should I say no? The definition of Mila stays the same. And there's a new din. There's Halacha Moshe Misina HaMechadeshes. It's a new Chiddush din. Lo Maspik, it's not sufficient. If you do Mila, you have to do Priya as well. Or do you say no? The Mishnah's lashon is mol v'loy para kiloloy mol. If he doesn't do priya, it's considered as if he didn't do milah. The nature of the halacha Moshe Mesinai was that this is halacha hamafareshes. And the kanal haba, if you don't do priya, it's considered as if you don't do gilu hatorah, it's considered as if you didn't do the milah at all. He clears a shayla halacha lemaisa. What happened was the moel by mistake did a bris, and he only cut off the or ha'orah, and he didn't cut off enough of the or ha'priya. So then when he realized that the next day, 2 days later, he has to say a bracha. He wasn't yotzei the mitzvah milah. So the shayla was, what's the nusach ha'bracha? Did he say, shekadishon b'mitzvah v'tzivonu ala milah? Because mol v'lei par kilol mol, he didn't do the milah. Oh, no, the milah he did. The mitzvah's milah didn't change. He didn't do this new mitzvah, priya. Is it halacha hamechadesh? That's a Rav Soloveitchik said it over. Is it halacha hamechadesh? That's not the lashon of the nitziv. That's the lashon of Rav Soloveitchik.
Is the priya me'akev in milah? That means you weren't. If you didn't fulfill it, that means you got to make a bracha.
You have to say a bracha, but the only shayla is,
and you got to say a full bracha because you were at yoitz before that bracha was a bracha levatola.
Right. But the question is, what bracha do you say? Do you say ala mila because considered as if you didn't do the mila, or you say no until from the days of Avraham Avinu until the days of Yeshua ben Nun, that's mila. Yeshua ben Nun told us in addition to mila, you have to do something additional. You have to do also priya, but it's not that if you didn't do the priya, it's not going
not
that
it's,
it is miyake, but it's not that you didn't do mila. You did mila, but you didn't do the second. You have to do another step.
It's either miyake or it's not.
No, it's beferish that is miyake. Beferish that is miyake. But the question is, did the halacha l'moshe Messina redefine mila? Because until the days of Yeshua ben Nun, mila just meant cutting off the or ha'orlo. So should I say mikar al habo? The definition of mila means gilu ha'atara. You have to expose that part of the eva, gilu ha'atara. But he's saying no. The definition of mila is cutting off the or ha'orlo. And this is an additional din, that's ma'akev. So that was the suffix of the nitziv. What's the nature of that halacha l'moshe Messina? Rav Chaim in his sefer has on the Rambam, there's a halacha l'moshe Messina of orla b'chutzlar. It's a different kind of orla. If you plant a tree, so even if pears grow the first 3 years, you're not permitted to eat those fruits. That's a din of orla. And then the fourth year, there's a din of ravai. You have to bring the pears to Yerushalayim and eat them b'kedusha v'tahara. So the Gemara says, even though the Chumash says kisavoy al haaretz and etaitem kol etzmachal v'aralfam alosai and Parshas Kedoshim, it says when you come to Eretz Yisrael and you plant the tree in Eretz Yisrael, there's a din of orla. The pasuk doesn't say a word about chutz laaretz, but nonetheless the Gemara says that orla b'chutz laaretz halacha l'moshe Messina. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik explains that there's a fundamental machlokes the Rambam and the Gaonim. What's the nature of the halacha l'moshe Messina? So the Rambam holds it's halacha hamechadeshes. In Chumash, it only speaks about Orla Beretz Yisrael. Kisavoy al Horetz and the Taitim Kola Yitzmachal. The Halacha Moshe Messinai is Mechadosh a brand new din. Adds on a brand new din. And the Goyim say, no, this is Halacha HaMefareshes. The Halacha Moshe Messinai tells you to retranslate the Pasuk. Kisavoy al Horetz and the Taitim Kola Yitzmachal is not the Mokam Nihug HaMitzvah, it's the Zman Nihug HaMitzvah. This mitzvah doesn't begin when you're in the Midbar. The mitzvah only begins when you cross over the Yarden. But when you cross over the Yarden, then the mitzvah applies all over the world, even in Chutz L'Arts. So what's the difference with the Halacha L'Moshe Messina is retranslating the Pasuk, that is the Zman Niyoga mitzvah, it's not the Mokam Niyoga. You say, no, the Pasuk speaks about Eretz Yisrael, and all of the Chutz L'Arts are separate din. So the difference is, would they be Malkus, like the Ran says? The Ran says, how is that Malkus? How is the Misa? Mavadal and Amis? If it's Halacha L'Moshe Messina, there shouldn't be any Oynish Aguf. So the Rambam says on Orla B'chutz Laaretz there's no Malkus. It's pure Halacha L'Moshe Messina. And he's disagreeing with the Goyim. He quotes the Goyim claim that there is Malkus and he says it can't be. So Rav Chaim explains that the Goyim are of the opinion that the nature of the Halacha L'Moshe Messina by Orla B'chutz Laaretz was it's Halacha HaMefareshes. The Halacha L'Moshe Messina tells you to translate the Chumash differently. Kisavoy Orla Haaretz is not the Mokam Nihug HaMitzvah but the Zman Nihug HaMitzvah. So this difference that there's only Oynish Aguf. There's only Oynish Aguf if a person violates Torah Shabbosav. If he violates Torah Shabbalpeh, there's no Malkus, there's no Nisa. So this is also assumed to be based on this concept that the Torah Shabbosav is given by Midas Adin. So that's why sometimes a person violates a Pasuk, so he deserves an Oynish Aguf. And Torah Shabbalpeh was given by Midas Achesed, by Midas Arachman.
How do you classify the Yid Gimel Midos where you come up with new, you say those old Torah? The Rambam says Yid Gimel Midos. Anything that comes from that is like Torah
Shabbat
Torah Shabbat Torah Shabbat. So would you get Malkus on any things Certainly they do. You can derive something with Yidgi Milvus and you would get Malkus.
It's a good question. Why is there Malkus? And Rushes, if we're saying on... It's not the same as Halacha Moshe Messina. It's attached to the Pasuk. Yeah, it's attached to the Pasuk. But it's a good question. It's a very good question. Yeah. The Torah says in Hilchas Brichas HaTorah, we say Bracha Shenasalana Torah Samus B'chayyola Menata B'sachenu. So Nasalana Torah Samus is referring to Torah Shebichsa B'chayyola Menata B'sachenu is referring to Torah Shebal Peh. Why? Just because the two phrases and the two parts to the Torah. No, Chayyolam Nata B'sachenu, because that's what Torah Shebal Peh is all about. There is a brisa in Maseches Sofrim, where the brisa raises the issue, why did the Rabbeinu Shel Olam have to have a Torah Shebal Peh? Why didn't he give everything Bixav? So the Pashat is, it's impossible to give everything Bixav. Well, the Zohar gave the answer that the Beis Halevi quoted, that Rabbeinu Shel Olam felt he has to give something unique to the Bnei Yisrael because the Rabbeinu Shel Olam have a shlita on us. So the Maseches Sofrim raises the same question, gives a different answer. You're just going to have Torah Shebichsav. The world keeps on changing, so you're going to live in a new generation. How are you going to relate the Dinim and the Chumash to the current situation? So you have to have a Torah. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam had to give us a Torah Shebal Peh. Should be Chayyolam and Atta Bezachet. Should be able to know how to apply the Dinim and the Chumash to any given case. There is no case in the world that's not covered with a halacha. We had last year, we had a guest in the yeshiva from MIT. So he's already on his third career. Some super genius. His first career was in law, and his second career was in physics. He invented the Kindle. He invented another 100 things like the Kindle. Forgot his name. He's now he learns Daf Yomi now. He enjoys Daf Yomi, and he's getting much more into Torah. And now he's working on genetic engineering in biology. And so he's taking genes from potatoes and putting them into chazerim, genes from chazerim, putting them in potatoes, all kinds of things, all kinds of stuff. So he said in his first career was in law, and then years later he started learning Gemara, so he realized that there's a major difference between secular law and Torah. He said in secular law you can draw up a contract in such a way that it's not covered by any law. If you know the law, you can drop it. It says in halacha, there's mamash, there doesn't exist a case that's not covered by halacha. Every single case is covered by a halacha. There's a, he was talking, there's a mishnah in the end of Chulin. When he came to the yeshiva, the Daf Yomi was learning Chulin. The day before he came, the Daf Yomi learned that mishnah in Chulin. If you have, there are vegetables that grow that are human beings, that are attached to the ground. So the Rambam says that he heard that such a thing exists, but we all know it doesn't exist. So this fellow said it doesn't exist yet. He's working on it. He's a kibitzer. He said he's trying to make such a thing. So he said the halacha covers cases that didn't come up yet. The halacha covers every single case that is possible to imagine in the world. He says in secular law, if you know the law well, you can figure out a case that's not covered. There's a in Choshen Mishpat, it says there's a principle dina de machus dina. So dina machus adina means you got to pay taxes. That's number one. And dina machus adina means if I have a court case with a non-Jew, so the secular law is binding. Let's say the non-Jew agrees to go to a din Torah. So the three rabbis have to pass it according to secular law, not according to Choshen Mishpat. If he's an Oyed Rabbi Dezare, a goy who worships Rabbi Dezare, then we have it in for him. So then the Gemara says the Bezin should try to be mezakeh the Jew either with secular law or with goyish law. They should have it in for the Nochri Yobir Abedizah. But if he's Nishkin Yobir Abedizah, I find a Nochri, he's not Jewish. Then we don't have it in for him. We have nothing against him. Then the halacha says, Din and Machlus applies. But if both parties involved are Jewish, the Tevei and the Nitva, then we don't follow secular law. We follow Dini HaTorah. So the Shach and the Choshen Mishpat says that sometimes we do follow secular law. When is that? So he has a few cases. He says, one case is, if the halacha has nothing to say about the case, then we follow secular law. There's no halacha. So the Chazon Ish says, that's a mistake. A case doesn't exist. There's no case that's not covered by halacha. Either the halacha says you're chayiv, or the halacha says you're potter. There is no case that's not covered by halacha. You have to break your head to figure out what the halacha is. They didn't have any internet in the days of the Gemara. They didn't have eBays. They didn't have all these things. You have to figure out how to apply the halacha. That's what the Torah Shebaal Peh is all about. That's what the Masechus Sefer. Torah Shebaal Peh was given to be able to adapt, not to change, Chalila, to try to define well what's the nature of the din in the Chumash, to be able to apply it to every case in the world. There is no case in the world that is not covered by halacha. And even to that extent that the Mishnahis talk about things that didn't exist yet, that this professor thinks he may be zoicha to do, it's already covered with halacha. The Gemara already says what it is. Tosfos writes like that. There's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. The Gemara says that the Shiva begins, Avelus begins after Stimas HaGoylo. So what does it mean, Stimas HaGoylo? The Rashi says when you put the lid on the coffin, that's the Goylo. The Doifik are the walls on the side of the coffin, and the Goylo is the lid on top. And Tosfos says that that's ridiculous because there's a Mishnah in Erevin. We learned it when we learned Erevin, the Mishnah, the first parak in Erevin. If you make a goylo from a live animal, so Tosfos says you're going to put a live animal on the lid of a coffin, then you're going to bury the coffin, you're going to bury the live animal. That's ridiculous. So obviously, the word goylo doesn't mean the lid on the coffin. The word goylo means the matzeva. When you finish the whole kvura, they used to put the matzeva the same day, so it means the gemar hakvura. Tosfos says today we don't put the matzeva till the end of shloshim, then the yid beis chodesh, whatever. So when you finish filling up the grave, that's the Gemar HaKvura. So Tosfos says that sometimes they bury a person, they don't have a matzeva ready yet. So they'll bang a peg into the ground and they'll tie an animal, and the animal will be temporarily, will serve as a matzeva. We'll know that this is where Pliny is buried, and next week or that tomorrow we'll put up a matzeva there. So that's what the Gemara is talking about, making a matzeva from a live animal. Doesn't mean it can't be the lid on the coffin, because that's ridiculous. Then Tosfos says, but it's not really such a murderous kasha against Rashi. That Rashi says that the girdle means the lid of the coffin. So how can it be? The Gemara talks about using a live animal. So Tosfos writes a line, because the Gemara talks about in abstract what's the din if a case will come up. It's not going to happen in a million years. But the Gemara wants to cover all the cases, even if it's never going to happen in a million years. So that's what Tosfos writes. Then they give us a mashal. How do they know? The Gemara talks about something that's never going to happen in a million years, because there's a Gemara in B'chairis where the Gemara talks about a cow is pregnant with a fetus, and they take the fetus out of her rechem and they put it into a different cow. So Tosfos says it's never going to happen in a million years, but the Gemara talks in abstract to cover every single case in the world. So now they do it ma'isim v'chol yad. But every crazy case that comes up, everything is covered in the Gemara. Just have to know how to look at it.
Two heads,
yeah. Well, that taka does come up once in a while. A baby born with two heads, yeah. But what? Yeah, this I don't know. No, he said he saw Shesua. We were learning in Yeridaya. Shesua. There's a list of the non-kosher animals. Kosher animals, non-kosher animals. So it says Shesua is a non-kosher animal. So the Gemara says Shesua is an animal which is Malagera and Mafir's Parasa. So why is it treif? The Gemara has, because it has Shnei Gabin and Shnei Shadros. It has two spines separated from each other. So the Gemara has a machloik, it's Rabbi Shmuel. Can such an animal exist somewhere in the African jungle? Such a thing exists? And that's what the Torah is talking about. Or do you say, no, such an animal can exist, it's impossible, biologically. It must be that it's a ben pekua shesua. Normally a ben pekua is mutter b'shchitasimo. By shech, the mother, and there's a uber inside, is mutter b'shchitasimo, even if it's a camel inside, even if it's an abnormal development, and it's a non-kosher animal, a horse is inside of the cows, also mutter, but if it's a shesua, then it's straight. So that's what it says in Yeridah. So he told the boys, you shouldn't laugh. He used to come to the slaughterhouse just once a week to check on the shechitas. He saw more than once. He saw shesua, ben pekua shesua. He saw exactly that. They say it's not so uncommon.
What did
he
actually see?
Ben pekua shesua. They shechted the mother, and after they shechted the mother, then the uber came out, and the uber had a double, separate, two different spines. Such a thing does exist. Yeah. So that's what the Masechus Sefer writes. Why did the Rabban Shalom give us a Torah Shebaal Peh? We should be able to apply the Torah to all cases in the world. We just have the Torah Shebichsav, so it's just etched in stone, so you can't budge. But if you have Torah Shebaal Peh, so you interpret what the nature of the din is. Like the Gemara talks about, Karen Shem Beregel. So the Gemara says, what's the definition of Karen Mishuna? What's the definition of Shem Beregel Urchein? What's the definition of Bor Tchilos Asiyas Elenezin? What's the definition of Veish? It's Karachachem Yorba. The Gemara defines, the Gemara gives you a sharp definition. Same thing, all the Malachas of Shabbos, Lamentes Malachas. So the Achrayim give definitions, what's each Malacha all about, and they know when it applies, when it doesn't apply. So that's all the Koyach of the Torah Shmalpeh. So that's what the Tur says, that when we recite the Birchas HaTorah, so we say, Hashanassim Lama Torah Shem, B'chai Yolam Nata B'sachena. So the Torah Shem refers to the Torah Shabbosav. The Chayyolam Nata B'sachena is a reference to the Torah Shabbosav. The Beis Halevi there in the same place, in the end of the second volume of the Shalom Tshuvas, has another drasha that the Rav was fond of saying over also, from time to time, Nochad Rasha, that there's a difference between Torah Shabbosav and Torah Shabbosav. You can't have osias parches ba'avir. You have to have osias, have to be on a klaf. So when you have Torah Shebichzav, so you have the osias written on the klaf, on the parchment. When you have Torah Shebalpeh, so where are you writing? Where are you writing the Torah? So it's kosvim aluach libecho. That's how the pasuk reads in Mishlei. It's considered as if the Torah is engraved on our hearts. So there's a difference. The Beis Halevi says there's a difference between gufi kedusha and tashmishi kedusha. Let's say a pair of tefillin is gufi kedusha. That is the kedusha itself. The tefillin zekel has kedusha because or mental levesefer Torah, and aron kodesh has kedusha because it's meshamish something else, meshamish the sefer Torah. But the sefer Torah itself is gufi kedusha. So the Beis Halevi has a whole discussion, a whole derech hadrash. What's the nature of kedusha Yisrael? We assume that the source of all kedusha, all the religious articles are divided into two categories. You have an esrig, and you have a sukkah, and you have a shofar, and you have a talis, tzitzis. These are called tashmishi mitzvah. These are religious articles that you use to fulfill a mitzvah. So bizman mitzvah, and it's hooked to the mitzvah side. The sukkah, if you build a sukkah, you didn't sit in it, so it's not hooked to the mitzvah side. That's hazman ala milsehi. But if you sat in the sukkah on sukkahs, then it gets a kedusha for the duration of the 7 days of sukkahs. Same thing, you bought an esrig. If you didn't shake the esrig with the dal and dinim, so it's not hooked to the mitzvah, so yeah, it's only hazmana. But once you used it for the mitzvah and sukkah, so it's hooked to the mitzvah so for the duration of the 7 days. After sukkah is over, so the hook to the mitzvah, so it vanishes into thin air, no longer hooked to the mitzvah. You have a talis. So it calls man, the talis is in good shape and it's still usable. Some people have a talis special, white on white, for Yom HaNeroim. The Yekkes in Washington Heights, they have a talis they only wear on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But they plan to wear it next to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, next to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So it retains the Kedusha. It's still, you can use it all year long if you want to. They don't use it. So that's still hooked to the mitzvah. What if I have an old talis so worn out, I'm not going to use it anymore, and the Gabbai doesn't want it because it's so torn, and the poor people in the community don't want it either, nobody wants it. So the Gemara says, so this Zman HaMitzvah is up. So the din is that you don't have to put the talis into Shemus. You don't even have to put the tzitzis into Shemus. The Gemara says, you put it in a bag and you throw it in the garbage. Tashmishei mitzvah on his rocket. But Tashmishei kedusha on the Gnosim. Let's say you have an old tefillin zekel. It's all worn out, has holes in it, so you're going to buy a new tefillin zekel. What do you do with the old one? Has no psukim written on it, just says tefillin. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to throw it in the garbage. It has the status of Tashmishei kedusha. You have an old mental of a sefer Torah, has no psukim written on it, just says this was donated by so and so. So the Gemara says that has the status of Tashmishei kedusha. So how do you determine whether any given religious article is Tashmishei mitzvah, Tashmishei kedusha? So Rav Chaim Volozhin points out, it depends if it has the Torah written on it. So if the Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah have psukim written on them. So to the extent that you have psukim written, to that extent it has kedusha. So if the Torah has more psukim than all the tefillin, so it has the highest level of kedusha. Shal Rosh has a shin more than the Shal Yad, has two shins on the Bay Shal Rosh, so the Shal Rosh has slightly more kedusha than the Shal Yad. Shal Yad has more psukim than mezuzah. Mezuzah only has Shema V'Hayom Shemaya, and the tefillin have Kadesh V'Yoki V'Yacha. So the tefillin have more kedusha than the mezuzah. That's how the Rambam writes. The Rambam sounds like he says, the Aseres HaDibros have less kedusha, the original Aseres HaDibros have less kedusha than a regular Sefer Torah. Because the regular Sefer Torah has so many more parshios, has the Aseres HaDibros plus more. So to the extent that you have psukim written, that's the extent that you have kedusha. So Tashmishi kedusha means things that have the Torah written on them. So the tefillin itself is gufei kedusha. The tefillin zekel or the rituas, the parshios have psukim written. The rituas have no psukim written. So the Gemara says the rituas are only tashmishi kedusha, like the mental of the sefer Torah is tashmishi kedusha, like the tefillin zekel is tashmishi kedusha, and the tefillin itself is gufei kedusha. So the Beis Halevi discusses what's the nature of kedushas Yisrael. Kedusha Yisrael has to, all Kedusha has to derive from Divrei Torah. So is it that every Jewish neshama, every Jewish person has Kedusha Yisrael because we are kofuf to the Torah? So we are Tashmishi Kedusha? We relate to something outside of ourselves? Or should we assume that it's Gufi Kedusha? So he quotes the sources in the Midrashim that say, no, the Malach teaches the baby Kol HaTorah Kula before the baby is born. So it's as if the Torah Shebal Peh, just like Torah Shebichsav is written on Klaf, and the klaf is considered gufei kedusha. So the Torah Shebal Peh is kasva maluach libecho. Torah Shebal Peh becomes part of us. So we become like the klaf. We become gufei kedusha. So he has a whole drush based on this.
Women.
Also, we assume the Malach teaches the women too. Also kol haTorah kula. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. The Rambam has a famous comment in the end of Perek Beis in Hilchas Gerushin. The Rambam is trying to, he's quoting a Gemara. The Rambam just makes it fancier, but it also says in the Gemara. The Mishnayos say that sometimes the Bezin forces a person to give a get to his wife. He doesn't want to give a get, and sometimes Bezin forces. The Gemara says, but you have to give a get me daito. So he doesn't agree. Really? He's screaming bloody muddy, he doesn't want it. So the Rambam explains what it says in the Gemara. Every Jewish soul really wants to keep all the mitzvahs. And if the Rabbanim say you have to give your wife a get, he really does want to give his wife a get. And his screaming that he doesn't want to, that's not really his true self. That's his pseudo-personality. That's what Rav Soloveitchik would say. It's his pseudo-personality. When they beat him up till he finally says, Roitz Ani, that's his true Ani is speaking now. That's what he really wants inside. That's the Gemara like that. The Gemara Cheskin Abatim says like that. So where does that come from, that we assume that every Jew really has an Abba Hamasuteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's the lashon that the Baal HaTanya writes. Every Jew has a hidden love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Soloveitchik said it comes from the fact that the Malach teaches every baby Kol HaTorah Kula. It teaches the men and the women. It teaches everybody Kol HaTorah Kula. That's the source of Kedushas Yisrael, and that's the source of the desire to keep Torah mitzvahs. Yeah, by non-Jews, they're obligated to do mitzvahs. So kol zman that they're alive, you have to give kavod abrius to the body, because the body does, if they keep the shev mitzvahs, been enough. But after they die, it's like tashmishi mitzvah after the mitzvah is up, like the esrog after sukkahs is up. So the zman mitzvah is up, so there's no chiyuv kavod. You don't have to have respect for the dead body of the nochri. But the dead body of the Jew is considered tashmishi kedusha, a gufei kedusha, whatever. So even if it's no longer useful for the mitzvah, you have to show kavod and bury it. Yeah. But the Beis Halevi is pushing to explain that the Jewish soul is a gufei kedusha, because the Torah is written on the soul. The Loshon HaPasuk in Mishlei is kasvim aluach libecho. There's a Rashi in Parshas Tetzaveh. Rashi is trying to figure out what the big dekuhuna looked like. So Rashi is guessing. He says he thinks that the ephod, he thinks that the ephod looked like the women ride horseback in France. It gives you a whole see what it is. The Veltfek Takasha. How can Rashi say Libi Oimali? Shteitach and Kriyashma. We're not allowed to follow. So the Pashup Shat is a joke. Means don't worship Avodah Zarah. Doesn't mean don't follow what you want. But that's what the Veltfek Takasha. How can Rashi say Libi Oimali? Shteitach and Kriyashma. So the Velt says the answer is, Rashi fulfilled the pasuk in Mishle, kasvim aluach libecho. He engraved the Torah on his heart. If you write the Torah on your heart, then your heart becomes a chelik of the Torah. So then you can follow what your heart says. Then you're following the Torah. They quote in the biography of the Chazanish that once in a while they would ask him a shayla, and he would give a psak. Then they would say vushtei tazoi. So he would point to his heart. It says it over here. Libi armali. His heart became a heart of Torah. Baron Kotler has a collection of drushes. It's called Mishnas Rabbaran. They have drushes from Shneur Kotler. I personally enjoy the drushes of Shneur Kotler much better than the drushes of Baron Kotler. So there was one drushen from Baron Kotler that I did enjoy. So he writes this, a rush in Ksubis, where the rush quotes, a ravid develops a certain din based on a passage in the Gemara. So the Rebbe thinks that the Rosh thinks that the Rebbe's raya is not a raya. He says that he can't prove it from the Gemara. But the Rosh says, but I think it's correct anyway. I think it's correct. So Rabban Kotler said that the Velt says, the Rosh said, I think it's correct. The raya is from all of Shas. The Rosh learned all of Shas, and his intuition was that this idea is good. The Rebbe only had a raya from one Gemara. So the Rosh says that it's not a raya from that Gemara. And the Rosh says, my inclination is that it's correct. So that's based on all of Shas. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. That when, I remember when Rav Soloveitchik was already old and he wasn't well, so Rabbi Manny Holzer should have Refuah Shleima. Rabbi Manny Holzer once asked me on Shaila and Kashrus. He was always the chairman of the Kashrus Commission for the Rabbinical Council Kashrus Commission for the OU Hashgachas. So he asked me what I think the din is. I said, I have to look it up. So he says, well, before you look it up, wait. I said, I don't know. I have to look it up. So he asked me again, but before you look it up, wait. I said, I don't know. I have to look it up. So he says, but we used to ask the Rav. The Rav would always tell him what his intuition is. So I said, that's the Rav. The Rav said he thinks that by the real Gedolim, the Psak always was based on their initial instinctive intuition. They knew all the Gemaras. They knew all of Tanakh. And intuitively, they would feel whether it's mutar or ras, and then they would check to see in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch whether it's correct. I'm not holding on that madrega. I don't have such intuition. That's what the Rav said, the difference between Erisin and Nisuin. That the Chumash says, Torah Tzivulon Amosha, my Rosha, Kehilos Yankiv. The Gemara says the word my Rosha has also the meaning of Me'urasa, that every Jew is married to the Torah. Every Jew has an Erisin with the Torah. Erisin is only the first step of marriage, and Nisuin is the second step. Erisin, Arusa is an Eshes Ish Shelo Bebeis Habal, and the Nesua is an Eshes Ish Bebeis Habal. Whenever it says Beis Zuishta, that's only by Nesua. That's how the Gemara says in Yuma. Beis Zuishta is only Nesua. So he said, when he said the Hespet for Avelvela, so he said, every Jewish person has an Erisin with the Torah. Tzavitzi Velada Moshe, Murasa, everybody has Erisin, but only Yechidah Zgula have really Nesuin. So he said, what's the difference between Erisin and Nesuin? So he says, when you're married to your wife for a long time, you have Nesuin, so you already know in advance what your wife's reaction is going to be to any issue that comes up. You think the same wavelength. You already know what she's going to say. So that's what they quote from the Chassam Sefer like that. In the official biography of the Chassam Sefer, is called the Chutam Shulosh, because it has the biography of the three generations. Rabbi Kivega was the father-in-law of the Chassam Sefer, and then the Ksav Sefer was the son of the Chassam Sefer. And this Sefer, this three-part biography, was written by a son of the Ksav Sefer. So he has all the official stories from the family. So he tells that when the Ksav Sefer was single, so the Chassam Sefer used to write tshuvas, and he used to leave him on the table, and he expected his son, the Ksav Sefer, to read over the tshuva and to mail it. He wanted him to check it over. So whenever the Ksav Sefer wouldn't agree with what his father wrote, it wasn't Dar Heretz to say he disagreed, so he would just leave it there on the table, he wouldn't mail it. And the father would ask him, after a week, how come he didn't mail it? So he was taught to dingzach, and they would discuss the issue. So once he left the tshuva there for a week, and the father asked him, how come he didn't mail it? So he says, the one who asked the Shaila is a big Talmid Chacham, and you wrote in your tshuva, you think the din is like this, he didn't bring any rayas. He can also think. Bring some rayas to say what you think. So the Chassam Sefer responded to him that his main koyach hapsak is his instinctive intuition. He always has an intuition what the din is, and then he looks in the Shulchan Aruch to see if it's not against what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And he says, on this case, that's my intuitive feeling that that's the din. I don't need any rayas. That's how Rav Soloveitchik said. The real gedolim always paskin like that. So that's what they say from the Chazon Ish, that they once asked the Bush date, so he pointed to us. He said, it's over here. One who fulfills the mitzvah of kasvim aluach libecho is able to follow libi yarmili.
So there would never be a contradiction, let's say, to big Talmid HaChachamim, based on their intuition.
We always have machloikis hatanoim and a machloikis. So many machloikis, and everything is mutable machloikis. So why is one obligated to follow the psak of his rabbi? So some people think the psak of the rabbi is binding even if it's an error. So that's not true. If the balbos knows that the rabbi made a mistake, he's not allowed to follow the psak. The psak is binding because we assume that the rabbi had a siyata to the shmaya not to make a mistake, because we assume he probably did not make a mistake. And the Gemara says this. We learned soitos in the very beginning of soita, dav gimel, dav dalet. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tilim, soita Hashem li reyof. that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives a divine assistance to the Talmid Chachamim to pasken properly. So that's why the psak of a Talmid Chacham is binding. So then the question begs itself. But yeah, the Machlegs Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer. So the Ribbono Shel Olam gave a siyata to Shmaita Rabbi Akiva. He should say this way. He gave a siyata to Shmaita Rabbi Lezer to say that way. And they have to Talmidim Rabbi Akiva have to follow Rabbi Akiva because they should assume he's right, that he had a divine assistance to say the right answer. And Rabbi Lezer also had a divine assistance. So the Ribbono Shel Olam was talking out of both sides of his mouth. So the Gemara says, yes. Elu Yeru Divrei Elokim Chai. How could that be? Elu Yeru Divrei Elokim Chai. That's a Gemara in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel by the many disputes between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, we have to paskin what the din is, but we still say, Elu Yeru Divrei Elokim Chai. Dr. Belkin, I remember, used to say from time to time, rabbis make a mistake. He would give an ashara to the Mesmochim. Elu Yeru Divrei Elokim Chai does mean that anything goes. There's a clear way to paskin halacha. It's a din. When you're learning Torah, so if you learn Shitas Beis Shammai, there's a kiyama mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But it doesn't mean you can paskin whatever you please. You have to have a tradition, have a paskin halacha. So what does it mean, Elu Yeru Divrei Elokim Chai? So the Ritva has a famous explanation on that Gemara.
So how do you use small figure out?
Pasha Shofar. Oh, you mean with small, right. So the Ramban on Chumash is, the Ramban on the Sefer HaMitzvahs is the first Rishon to ask that Kasha. That the Sifrei says, oh, you mean she was small, Bals Moshe Yamin. Sounds like the psak of the Rabbonim is binding, even if it's an error. And then you have the first Mishnah in Hori, it says, Beferish, not so. If you know that the Rabbonim made a mistake, even if the whole Bez Nagadol unanimously gave a psak, and you know that they're wrong, you're not allowed to follow what they say. So the Ramban is the first one to ask that kash. So the Ramban's answer is that the correct reading, the correct gears on the Sifrei should be, Afilo Nirim B'Yeinecho, oh, you mean she was small. Even if the Balabas thinks that what the rabbi said doesn't make any sense, a lot of times the doctor tells us something and we think that it doesn't make any sense. A chemist sometimes tells you something and you think it doesn't make any sense. This chemical doesn't explode and this chemical doesn't explode. So why, if you mix them together, why is it going to explode? Because you have to know chemistry. If you're an expert, so you'll understand that not everything works with common sense. So that's what the Ramban has the gear safi. The nir and bianecha, even if the layman thinks that the psak of the Rabbonim is nonsense, he should realize that common sense doesn't always win in psak halach, just like common sense doesn't always work in medicine, common sense doesn't always work in chemistry or physics or biology. Common sense doesn't always work. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. That's how the Ramban says. Rabbi Chana Basman has a different suggestion. He thinks, Al-Yuminshu is small means if the Bezin tells you that even though it says in Chumash that you have to blow shofar every year on Rosh Hashanah, but the rabbis tell you, with the power vested in us, as the rabbis, we don't allow you to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. That's called Al Yamin Shu Smol. The rabbis tell you to violate the mitzvah in the Chumash because of Gzeira Midrabbanan. That's called Al Yamin Shu Smol. Rabbi Chana thinks that that's the source, that pasuk. Al Yamin Shu Smol is the source for this authority that the Gemara says, Yesh Kach B'Yad Chachamim, Lakadov Menatorah B'Shei B'Yad Tasa. The Chachamim were given authority by the Torah to tell us to violate the mitzvahs of Torah once in a while. Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, or a ger who converts on Erev Pesach shouldn't bring a Korban Pesach, or if you wear a talis that's made from linen, you shouldn't put on tzitzis at all. The Gemara has a whole list of gzeiros midrabbanan, where you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. So the authority of the Rabbanim is based on that pasuk, Al Yamin Shu Smol. But it doesn't mean if the Rabbanim made a mistake. If they made a mistake, then authority is not binding when it's an error.
We're facing each other.
The problem is we're looking at it from a different perspective. If I had to come around and look at it from your perspective, I would say that's even a nuts.
Okay. I mean, from the layman's perspective, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
But if he'll be an expert in the field, like in medicine, like in chemistry, like in physics, that's right. That's what Ramban says.
The question I was wanted to ask though was especially given current events the last day or two, how do we gauge when somebody's roy for Levi Yonali?
That is the most serious shiloh. How does a person... What do you mean, the last day or two? I'm not following what happened.
What's going on in Riverdale? The RCA put out a whole statement today. Bobby Weiss
You have a person who is never known for learning, never learned to following traditions. That's a very difficult question. How does a person know when he's a Chacham Shegiyah Lohairah? We have Tshuva Svarim that were written in the days of the Rishayim, the days of the Baal HaTes, that are a joke. It's not something new to our generation. You have Rabbanim who put out Shadis of Tshuvas, that Mamash HaGalechta. They don't know how to learn, and they think that they're God's gift to the world. They think they're entitled to an opinion. That's very unfortunate. A person has to... It's a very difficult decision. Everyone has a Negi. Everyone thinks that he's God's gift to the world. So person has to have a little humility to be able to decide. So the Ritva says the following: how can it be that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave Beishama and Beisila Lasiyata Dishma? Each one says the opposite. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is talking out of both sides of his mouth. So the Ritva says it's probably something like this: when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is telling him all the 613 mitzvahs. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, and what's the din in Hilchas Tzitzis if it's like this? And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, it's kosher at Tzitzis. What's the din in this case? It's pasul at Tzitzis. What's the din in this case? So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam told him that's a great area of halacha. It has elements of hechsher, elements of psul, elements of tuma, elements of tar, elements of isa, elements of heter. And he leaves it up to the discretion of the Chachme HaTorah Shebechol Dor V'Dor to decide based on their perspective of Kol HaTorah Kula. So you have to have a person who has a perspective of Kol HaTorah Kula who will be able to say, Libi Oymali. If a person does know Chumash, he does know Tanakh, he does know the names of the Sifri HaTanakh. There are people who don't, they can't tell you the names of all the Masechtas. So they're entitled to an opinion. The people don't know which way to figure out where's the Din of Shulchan Aruch. They can't figure it out. These people are not entitled to an opinion. Whom are you supposed to ask your shailas to? Whom is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam going to give this Siyaita Rishmaya to? So one klal is Yod Hashem Li'Reyav. The person who's going to get the Siyaita Rishmaya has to be a God-fearing person. Has to be a Yirei Shamayim. Some of these people who crack themselves up to be big poskim, major poskim of the modern Orthodox, it's obvious they have a big lack of Yirei Shamayim. Then the Gemara says also that in the many disputes between the Bishama and Bishilo, the overwhelming majority of the cases we pass like the Bishilo. So the Gemara says because two reasons, they were the majority, Acharam Lahatas, and secondly because they were more humble than the Bishama. It does mean that the Bishama were arrogant, but it means Bishilo were more humble than them. So what does humility have to do with Psak Halacha? So you give them, when they graduate college, you give them the humility award. But why do you give them, why is the reward that you pass in Halacha like that? So it means a person who is more humble will... I remember when we were Talmidim in the Yeshiva, so the Mashgiach, Rabbi Lesson, always used to give drushes. He thought he's back in Slabotka. The drushes didn't fit in with him. So one of his standard drushes would be, when you learn with your chavrus and you're fighting about pshat and teisvis, and your chavrus hits the nail on the head, he gives the right pshat, and you're not going to give in because you're arrogant. I don't remember ever having such a... That's what we used to talk about that. So if a person is more humble, so he'll be more open-minded. He'll listen, oh, I have a machlekes, maybe the other guy's right. He'll listen to what they have to say. If a person has arrogance, he's not even going to listen to what someone else said. He'll make up his mind, right? His mind is made up, and don't confuse him with the facts. So that's what the Gemara assumes. A person who's more humble stands a better chance of figuring out what the din is.
Wasn't that a problem, Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim? They didn't listen to their
chavrusas. The Gemara says that they died al shalanoga kovet zebezeh. Yeah, that's a shaila what that means. So Rav Henkin many years ago printed, I think we spoke about it a few weeks ago, Rav Henkin printed an essay before Moshe came on the scene. Rav Henkin was the big posek in New York. So he said, we all know from the history books that the Amir Rabbi Akiva were killed in the rebellion of Bar Kokhba against the Roman government. So what does the Gemara say? They were punished, men ha-shamayim ha-shalom, no gukobit zebazeh. Nothing does make sense. Rabbi Kiva was the one who was always preaching, v'hafta l'rach kamach, ezek l'agodol batorah, that's the most important mitzvah. How can it be that his Talmidim were the ones who were not no gukobit zebazeh? So Rav Henkin suggested that the Tanoim were simply afraid to say over the truth. So they wrote the most ridiculous reason why they died. Everybody in his right mind knows that that's not what happened. It wasn't Lord Norgul Kovitz, that couldn't be. Everybody knows they were killed by the Romans because they were involved in the merit Bar Kochla. So he says, that was a code. Shalom Norgul Kovitz means they were killed by the Romans in the rebellion against the government. It's not to be taken literally. That's what he says. And Darshanim take it literally and they try to make sense out of it. How can it be that Lord Norgul Kovitz, So when you ask a shaila of a person, has to be a learned person, has to be a clever person. Sometimes that people, they know a lot of dinim and shulchanah, but they don't have common sense. They don't have common sense to be able to apply the din, to realize what the case is that we're dealing with. The person has to be humble. Then the person has to be honest. A lot of rabbonim are just dishonest. They know the balabatim won't be happy if you give him a kula. The balabat won't be happy if you give him a chumra. There's one Talmud Chacham in Flatbush, he was trying to convince me, I should move to Flatbush. Why do I live in a Breuer's community? I should move to Flatbush. I should make a Nusach Ashkenaz minyan. I'll get a lot of mispalalim in the shul. But Herschel, do me a favor, one thing. You don't have to tell them all of your kulas. They don't want to hear kulas. They want to hear the chumras. So some balabatim only want to hear chumras. Some balabatim only want to hear kulas. So some rabbis will just cater to the balabatim. So that's not an emissive person. You have to ask your shadows to an emissive Talmud Chacham is going to give you the truth. To an honest Talmud Chacham. Then you have to ask the shaddas to a person who has patience to listen to the whole shaila. A lot of rabbanim don't have gedult, they don't have patience, so when you start telling the shaila, you don't finish the whole story, they better give you a psak before you finish. If the case is slightly different from Sif Aleph, then it's a different din, then it's Sif Beis, then it's Sif Gimel, then it's Sif Dalet. The Talmud Chacham to whom you ask the shaila has to have a lot of patience, has to have a lot of gedult to listen to the whole shaila. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Sanhedrin, all the qualifications that are necessary to serve as a dayan in a din Torah, to serve as a dayan for a geiris case. So the Rambam writes, one of the qualifications is humility. So what do you do? Sometimes a rabbi in a din Torah is not so humble. So the Chazon Ish thinks that all of these are le'ikuva. All the eight, the Rambam has eight qualifications. So the Rambam quotes from the Sifrei, from the Pasuk, eight qualifications. So the Lechem Mishnah writes on the Rambam, he doesn't think they're all me'akev. The Chazon Ish thinks all are me'akev, but you don't have to have the nth degree of humility. You have to have at least a miktsas humility. Sometimes you have a Rav who's a dayan on a case, he's absolutely arrogant, doesn't seem to have any humility. So the Chazon Ish holds that he's pasul. The Rambam says humility is one of the conditions that's needed. So the Gemara says that one of the reasons why we paskin like the Beis Hillel against the Beis Shammai, because they were more humble. We assume the one who is more humble stands a better chance of being mechavim amito shel Torah. That's what Rav Chaim Elojen says. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu the greatest gadol? Because he was one of mikol adam. He was the most humble person. He says, Moshe l'madoi v'doyme, you have a container here. So how much liquid can be contained in a container, inside it? So the walls take up a certain amount of space, and then whatever's inside, the hollow part. What if the walls would be thinner, so it'd be able to contain more? What if the walls would be so thin, they would just be mathematical walls that don't take up any space whatsoever? So then it contained the maximum. So the more arrogant a person is, so that's like the walls of the kli. So the more the person held from zich, so there was less room to contain Torah within him. And the more humble a person is, so the more room there is to hold Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was on a mikol adam, so his kli, kibul, his guf, he didn't hold from himself at all. So he had the maximum ability to contain the maximum. The Gemara comments in Masechus Shabbos on the pasuk in Novi, so the Gemara says that that pasuk is alluding to all the Shisha Sidri Mishnah. Munas, Itecha, Chos, and Yeshua's Chachmas Vadas are the Shisha Sidri Mishnah. Munas is Raim, and Itecha is Moed, and so on. Chachmas Vadas, Yeres Hashem. And then the Pasuk ends off, Yeres Hashem, Hi Oitzorah. What does it mean? The person has to have Yerushamayim. That's the base of Oitzor. That's how the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. Kol Mishi Yerushim, Kademis Lachachmasai, Chachmasim is Kayemis. What does it mean? That Yerushamayim is the base of Oitzor to contain the Torah. That Liman HaTorah is not the same as secular disciplines. Mathematics and chemistry and physics and biology, a person can figure it out without having Yerushamayim. But Liman HaTorah is a heavenly thing, something L'mayliman HaTorah, it's Chochmas Hashem. So we assume if a person lacks in Yerushamayim, so he's going to be lacking to that extent that he lacks in Yerushamayim, and to the extent that he lacks in humility, he's going to be lacking in Liman HaTorah. Some of the Mefarshim send the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai. So it's interesting. Rabbi Yitzchak Berditcheva has this in Kedushas Levi. Rabbi Chaim Elojen has the same thing. the chief of the Misnagdim and the chief of the Hasidim have the same comment. Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai. Moshe was the Mekabalat Torah because he was humble like Har Sinai. Because the Medrash says the Rebbeinu Shlom announced that he's going to give the Torah on top of the mountain. So all the mountains came to apply. They were all vying. Each mountain said, I'm such a tall mountain, I want to give. And Har Sinai didn't even apply. And then the Rebbeinu Shlom decided, oh, Har Sinai is very humble, it's a low mountain. He wants to give the Torah in Har Sinai. So Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai, because of his humility, that's why he was in the Kabbalah Torah. That's one of the crucial factors. A person will be more matzliach if he's more humble. And so Hashem li'reyav, yeah, the Rebbeinu Shlom will give the Siyata Rishmai to the one who has more Yiras Hamayim to paskin properly. This idea of Eilevi'ele Divi L'Kimchaim, that the Rebbeinu Shalom, when he told the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, he said some things are absolutely also, some things are absolutely mutter, and other things are gray areas of Allah, and he leaves up to the Chachmei HaTorah Shebechol Dor V'Dor to paskin based on their perspective. And all the perspectives are correct. I'm looking at the room from this corner, so I see everything that everybody else sees. The people sitting in that corner see the same thing, but from a different perspective. And everyone's perspective is correct. They're all looking at the exact same thing. That's Bamidvar Mamur. If they all have 20/20 vision, they're all seeing the same thing. A lot of times people are looking with one eye at people that they're not sufficiently knowledgeable in Torah to be entitled to an opinion. The Iker Koyach HaHayroah is when a person has this intuition that a person has absorbed, the Talmud Chacham has absorbed so much Torah that he's able to say, Libi Aymali. He has the feeling, he has the intuition that that is the Halacha. But a person has to be honest to be able to say such a thing, that he really thinks that he reached such a madrega. Unfortunately, in every generation, it's not something new in our generation. In every generation, you have in the days of the Balei HaTosfos, you have like that. They keep on printing more manuscripts now. Some of them are mamish jokes. There's a Sefer HaKushis. Ridiculous. Narish HaKashis. Not everybody who lived in the days of Rashi and Tosfos was a Talmud Chacham. A lot of them, they had a Meratzim, like we have a Meratzim today. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Shloshik Sarim Heim. So the Bar Tanur explains, there are three people whom the Torah places a crown on their head that we should show respect to them. Kesa Torah, Kesa Kuna, Kesa Malchus. The Torah says, V'fnei Seba Tokum Hadarta P'nei Zokin, you're obligated to show kavod to the Talmud Chacham, Kesa Torah. Kesa Kuhuna, it says, V'kidashta, you have to be Mechabed Dekoyin. L'Vtarach Rishon, L'Vrach Rishon, V'litol Mano Yofer Rishon, you have to always be Mechabed Dekoyin. Then Kesa Malchus, the Bar Tanur writes on Mishnah, is that it says, regarding the Melech, Soim Tosim Alecha Melech, and the Gemara understands from that Loshon, Soim Tosim, Shetehei Mosai Alecha, that the Melech doesn't even have the right to be Moichel on his Kavod. You have to show extreme Kavod to the Melech. So the Torah is Mechayiv that you should place a crown on these three people, Kesa Torah, Kesa Kuna, Kesa Malchus, to show Kavod to them. Torah never says you have to show Kavod to a Frum Yid, to an Elech Yid, but the Mishnah says, V'Kesa Shem Tov Al Gabeyem. The highest level of respect, even though the Chumash doesn't say it, it's self-understood. Highest level of respect should be the Keser Shem Tov. If a person is honest, and he's friendly with other people, and he has Midas Tovus, and he keeps Shmiras HaMitzvos, that's a Keser Shem Tov, that's more important than everything else. The Gemara in Kedushin, the end of the first parak, has a whole discussion of the dinim of standing up for a Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara says that there was an Amor, Rami by Yecheskel. So his father, Rabbi Cheskel, when he would walk into the Beis Medrash, the Rabbonim would stand up for him. So the Gemara says, why? Because Rabbi Cheskel was a Baal Meisim. He was a Frumayit. He wasn't more learned than the Rabbonim. He was a Frumayit. So the Rishonim have a Machloikas on that Gemara. What kind of a din is that? That you have to stand up, let's say, the Chassidish Rebbe, who's a big tzaddik, but he's not so learned. Nishken Koyen, Nishken Melech, and Nishken Talmud Chacham, but he's an Elechayit. So what kind of a din is that? So some Rishonim say it's a Midas Chassidus. It's only a Midas Chassidus. There is no such din. And other Rishonim say no. That's the din of standing up for a Talmud Chacham. The din of standing up, that's a Machlokes Rishonim. Din to stand up for a Talmud Chacham is an indirect way to show Kavod HaTorah. Is that it? So that only applies if the fellows of Talmud Chacham say no. The reason why you have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham is because we have no barometer, to use Rabbi Gerev Lakslosin to explain it, we have no barometer to measure Yiras Hamayim. So, So the din really is you have to stand up for one who is a great Yirei Shamayim. But how do you know who's Yirei Shamayim? So we assume, like it says in the last parak in Pirkei Avos, Kalalam Torah Lishma Zech LeDvarim Harbe. If a person will learn Torah Lishma, he will absorb a lot of Torah. He will become more oizgarbit in his midas. So when you stand up for a Talmid Chacham, we assume that you're really standing up for him because he's a Balmidas, not so much because he's an Elachiyi. So they stood up Rabbi Cheskel, he wasn't so learned. The Amoraim stood up Rabbi Cheskel, he was a Balmaisim Havas Efruma Elachiyi. That's the Iker Adin. The din you have to stand up for Talmid Chacham is not so much out of Kavod HaTorah. That's the Machlag Zerushanim. When you stand up for one who's a Balmaisim Efruma Yid, is that only a Midas Chasidus? Well, no, that's the Iker Adin for standing up for the Talmid Chacham. That's a big Machlag Zerushanim. That's how the Mishnah says that we assume a person learns Torah Lishma, he will be zeichel ledvarim harbe, it'll purify his personality. A lot of times people learn Torah and they forget it. The Medrash says, Bo'olam hazeh, we learn and we forget because the Bas of Adam is teaching us the Torah. Lasidlova Kodesh Bochu, Ki Ani Hashem Ala Metcha Lahoil. The Pasuk says, Lasidlova, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to teach us, that we're going to have such a good Rebbe like the Ribbono Shel Olam, then we won't forget. But Bo'olam hazeh, we forget. Because the one who's teaching us is only a human being. So so a lot of times we forget. So the question is, what value is it that we learn so much Torah? Rav Chaim Volozhin has in his commentary on the Pirkei Avos, in the Nefesh in the Ruach Chaim, on Pirkei Avos, he writes, Avertel, the Mishnah says, Kalalem Torah L'shmo Zech L'drom Harbe, so the Mishnah says, Machsharta Lias Tzadik V'yona V'chosid. So what does it mean, Machsharta? It prepares him. Person learns Torah, Lishma, prepares him, makes him into a better person. So he teaches, like in Yiddish, he say, Mekashatais Atrefe Keli, Adu Libun. So he says, when a person learns Torah, even if it goes in one ear and out the other ear, he learns Daf Yomi, and then the next day he really forgets what he learned yesterday, he forgets everything. But Lemaisa, it went in one ear and out the other, so it purified his soul, it purified his mind, and Ekashatais, it improves. We assume a person learns Torah, Lishma, we assume that it'll have an effect on his neshama. Pirkei Avos is all about observing all the midas tovos. So the Mefarshim all wonder, why is it in Seder Nezikin? What has it got to do with Nezikin? So in the big Mishnais, the Yochanan Bayis, so they always quote on the first page of every Masechta, they quote from the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnais, what is the Seder? Why is this Masechta over here? Why is Nazir, then Saita, then Gittin, then Kiddushin? What's the Seder? So in the beginning of Avos, the quote from the Rambam, Spirish HaMishnais, what's it doing over here? So part of his explanation is that right after he learned Sanhedrin, Masach HaSanhedrin talks about Dayanim, judging cases, and Rabbanim paskening Shilas. So Rabbanim who pasken Shilas have to have Midas Tevis. If they're not going to have Midas Tevis, so their Psak is going to be Mekulkom. It's important to have the Midas Tevis. The Chazanish has a whole kuntris Emuna Bitochon. The Chazanish during his lifetime was writing this brief book, and he never completed it. So he never printed it. And after he died, he had no children, so his relatives decided an incomplete book by the Chazanish is probably more valuable than a complete book by other people. So they printed the kuntris Emuna Bitochon. It's a small, I think it's 50, 60 pages or something, a small little sefer, which was never completed. So part of what he writes is... Yes, that is correct. Yeah. So part of what he writes there is that sometimes there are subtleties in halacha that if a person has a coarse personality, he won't pick up. But if you have oizgarbet amidas, then you'll be able to pick up these subtleties. So that's important. That's what the Rambam writes in his Pirush HaMishnayos. What is Maseches Avos doing in Seder Nezikin? It's important for all of Klal Yisrael. Everybody has to have Midas Tovos. And it's in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Halachta Bidrochav, Hidovik Bidmidosav, Shalom Kodesh Baruch Hu, Mahuchanan, Afatochanan, and so on. But it's especially important, more important for the Rabbanim and for the Dayanim, because when they have to Paskun Shailas, and they have to have Dinei Torah and so on, so to the extent that they're not going to be Bali Midas, so their Psak will be Mekulko. Then it's of course also important because the Balabatim are supposed to look up to the Rabbanim. So they're going to see the Rabbanim have terrible Midas, so they'll so the Balabatim will think that that's acceptable. The Rabbanim are supposed to show a mashal for all of the Balabatim. There's an interesting Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Rav Chaim Volozhin points out an interesting comment. Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam ma'amid al ha'Torah v'al ha'avodah v'al gemilas chasadim. So he points out that Koydem, Matan, Torah, these were three independent things. Avraham Avinu noyach lo ma'Torah, Avraham Avinu kim kol ha'Torah kula. Somehow the Medrash says he had kloyos yoyatzos and he could figure out all the Torah. Avraham Avinu could figure out. And then there was Avoida Hakrovas Hakabonis, and then there was Gemilas Chasadim. So the Hakrovas Hakabonis stood alone, independently, and the Gemilas Chasadim stood alone. But Nitan Torah and Ischat Shalach, after the Torah was given, so you can't do Gemilas Chasadim the way you please, and you can't do Hakrovas Hakabonis the way you please. You can't build the Boma wherever you want and bring whatever Kabonis you want. You can only build them as Mizbech and the Beis HaMikdash. You can only bring those Kabbonis that are described by the Chumash. You can't bring a Mincham and a Kitnius. The Torah tells you what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. And Gemilas Chasadim, Rav Chaim Volozhin, gives the mashal that Kodem Matan Torah, if the bank, if someone wants to take a loan from the bank, they're going to charge him 10% interest, and he comes to me and he begs, can you lend me the money? I'll pay you 5% interest. I do him a favor, I only lend them and I charge 3% interest. That's good, Gemilas Chasadim. So Kodem Matan Torah, that was a gewaldig emitz. So Lachem Matan Torah, it's an Issa Ribbis. It does make a difference whether I'm a loan shark. I want to make interest. I don't know. He comes and he pleads with me. I should lend him less ribs than the bank. Lachem Matan Torah, you're not allowed to. So the Gemilas Chasadim and the Avoida, the Hakrovas, after Matan Torah, everything has to be regulated by the Torah. The Torah, Avoida, Gemilas Chasadim, after Matan Torah, everything revolves about Torah. The Gemilas Chasadim and the Avoda have to revolve about Torah as well. There's an interesting Mishnah in Pirkei Yovis. Mishnah says, Shigigas Talmud Oila Zodai. It goes on a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham is supposed to learn. So if he makes a mistake in learning, it's considered as if he made the mistake by Mezen. It's a serious issue. There is a, we learned Sanhedrin together years ago. So there's a whole sugya in Sanhedrin, Torah B'shikal Adas, big Simen Chosh Mishpat, Simen Chofei, famous, complicated sugya, long riff, pages and pages in the riff, many different opinions in Shulchan Aruch. If the Bezin made a din Torah, and the Bezin, by mistake, awarded the money to Shimon, Reuben and Shimon had this, they awarded the money to Shimon. Then they realized that they made a mistake. So the Mishnah says that sometimes the Bezna has to pay from their pocket. Sometimes they have the right to back out and make Shimon give the money back to Reuven. And sometimes Halacha says they have no right to back out. They awarded it to Shimon. He has a right to keep it. And they have to pay from their pocket. What kind of a din is that? Why do they have to pay? That's an order mamazik. Because they made a false psak. So they were mazik Reuven. They said Reuven has to pay Shimon $500,000. But it was only indirect, isn't it? Only Grama ben Ezekin. They didn't take the money. Gemara says, if Nasam and Asam Beyad, if the Dayanim said, give us the money, we're going to hand it over. So that's Mamisha Mazik Biyadayim or a Gazla. They took the money, Nasam and Asam Beyad. So we understand why they're Chayef. But if it's not Nasam and Asam Beyad, they just gave a mistake in Sak. So it should not be Grama ben Ezekin, should be Potter. So the Gemara says, no, Grama ben Ezekin means if it's very indirect. Garmi means it's halfway in between Mazik Biyadayim and Groma. So Garmi is a machlokes hatanaim, Rav Meir and Achaham. So we paskin like Rav Meir. Rav Meir doin din in the Gamer. Rav Meir holds that there's a Tesis learns like this, and that's how we paskin. Rav Meir holds there's a knas midirabbanon. Minatora Garmi is potter because it's Groma bin Ezekin. And midirabbanon they said since it's not totally indirect, it's halfway in between Mazik Biyadayim. And Grama ben Ezekin, so midirabbanan we make it pay. So Tosfos says in the first half in Bava Basra, Beis Amud Aleph Mechitza Perek Hakerem Shenifritza Amud Lagedar Nifritza Amud Lagedar. So Tosfos quotes the Rabbi Natam that Garmi is only chayv if it's bemezid, because it's a knas midirabbanan. You only can't if he made the hezek on purpose. If he made Garmi b'shoygig, say you're not chayv. The Ramban disagrees with the whole Tosfos. The Ramban holds that Garmi is a chayv min haTorah. And the Gemara doesn't say that Garmi is a knas. The Gemara says, Rameh doin din of the Garmi. It's a din of the Garmi. It's not a knas of the Garmi. But we don't hold like that Ramban. The Shach writes in the end of Chosh Mishpat that he really planned to write a running commentary on the Ramban's kuntras din of the Garmi. Ramban wrote a whole kuntras on din of the Garmi. Rabban Lichtenstein published a whole volume, comments on the din of the Garmi. So the Shach wrote, he planned to write a whole commentary. But then he realized we don't paskin like the whole basic premise of the Ramban, so he didn't bother to write the whole commentary. We paskin like Tosfos, Garmi is only a penalty with the Ramban. Garmi b'shoygig is put. So the kasha is, but it says when the bezin made a mistake in psak, that's the b'shegig. So garmi b'shegig is potter. So how does the gemara say that the bezin shato'u, they have to pay mishalim ibeso, the dayanim have to pay from their pocket to make good the hezik, medina the garmi, but it's garmi b'shegig, they made a mistake. So the Rashash shtels to this Mishnah. He says, no. The Mishnah says, shigigas talmud oyla zodan. If a Talmud Chacham is supposed to be knowledgeable, makes a mistake in psak, he's held responsible as if he would have done the Aver B'mezid. There's a Pasuk in Parshas Vayikra, where the Pasuk speaks about Ashim Tolui. There's a din of Chatos. If a person violated an Aver B'shegig, which if he would have violated the Aver B'mezid, it would have been Kares, the Lamed Vav Krisis Hamuras Batar, the 36 Averis where the punishment is Kares. So the Mishnah says that's how Masechus Krisis starts off. So whoever violates any one of these 36 Averis, B'shegeg is Chayv Chatas. Kol Shezdanu Kares, if he would have done it, B'mezid would have been Kares. So if he violates the Aver B'shegeg, he's Chayv Chatas. So the what if the person is misupik if he did an aver? Let's say the person went to a restaurant, a kosher restaurant, and he ate a lamb chop. And then they tell him, by mistake, we served you chalef. And he realized that he ate chalef. He ate a kazayitchaz. He has to bring a korban chatas. What if he has a suffix whether he ate chalef? So the pasuk says he has to bring a korban oshem tolu. If he would have known the vaday that he did an aver, he's done a kares, he would have been a chayv chatas. So if he has a suffix, so that's how the pasuk describes it. Lo yada b'yashem v'nasa avono. If he doesn't know for sure whether he did an avera or not, lo yada b'yashem, he's not sure whether he did an avera. V'nasa avono, he may have an avera. He has to bring an ashem tolui. Then, if he finds out later on that he did do the avera, then he has to bring a chatos. Calls man, he's mesupik. He brings an ashem tolui. So that's the simple translation of the pasuk. Lo yada b'yashem v'nasa avono. So the quote from the Vilna Gaon. Lo yoda, if a person does know how to learn, person is an amoritz. He did learn properly. Vi ashem, that itself is a sin. V'nosavain is going to be held responsible for not learning. The Torah insists that we all have to be knowledgeable. In our religion, Liman HaTorah is not just for the rabbim and for the mechanchim. Liman HaTorah is one of the most important mitzvahs for the balabatim as well. Everybody has to learn Torah. We all have to learn Torah Misinai. What does it mean, Torah Misinah? So we discussed on different occasions. People usually assume Torah Misinah means that Torah is binding on us because of the bris at Har Sinai. So that's not really true. Rashi points out on Parshas Nitzavim that today the Torah is not binding because of the bris at Har Sinai. The bris at Har Sinai was only binding on the people who are present for Shas Maaseh. And we are obligated to keep the Torah because of the bris at Har Bismayov. That was repeated. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lo etchem levatchem anochi karesus v'bris hazoz. The bris, the covenant, and Abis Moiv wasn't only made with the people present. So Rashi quotes the Doris Abayim. Our generation is bound to observe the mitzvah Torah because of the bris at Abis Moiv. So when we speak about Torah Misinai, it doesn't mean that we're obligated to observe the mitzvahs because of the bris at Har Sinai. It's not true. Doesn't mean that the text of the Torah that we read was given at Har Sinai. It's not 100% true. The Chumash itself says that the Chumash is a composite of three different texts. The Gemara says in the first paragraph of Chagiga, the Torah was given, the whole Torah from A to Z was given three times to Moshe Rabbeinu. Once at Har Sinai, once the whole Torah was dictated at Har Sinai, then once it was dictated during the 40 years of traveling in the Midbar in Oil Moed, and the third time it was dictated in Arbis Moyov. And then when it came, the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, so the Baruch Shalom said, okay, put together a Sefer Torah, we're going to cut and paste different pieces. So the Torah as we have it is a composite, is a combination of different texts.
The Megillah's Megillah, then that would be, but that's like the Paragraph.
The Gemara has a Shaila in Gittin. Did Moshe Rabbeinu write everything down Mishas Maisa? When he was given a mitzvah, he wrote it down, that's Megillah, Megillah, Nitnu, or didn't begin to write anything down till the end of the Arboim Shana. That's one Shaila. But the Gemara says in the first parak in Chagiga, that the whole Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu three different times, three different texts, and as we have the Chumash, it's a composite of the three different texts. Sometimes it's introduced with Abba Shalom Moshe Mehar Sinai Leimar, So the Torah says, the Torah itself says that it's a composite of the three different texts. So that you can't say that Torah is Misinai. The Torah that we follow is the text that was given Hasina. That's one third of the Torah was given Hasina, and the other two thirds were given in Oil Moed and Arbis Moed. The Gemara's whole discussion: why did the Rabbanu Shalom give a different text the second time and the third time? What was the need for it? The Gemara's a whole discussion on that. So, what do we mean when we say that that we believe in Torah Misinai? Why such an Moshe Kibul Torah Misinai? What's the big deal? Moshe Kibul Torah Misinai. So what? Our obligation to observe the mitzvahs is not because there's a Bishar Hasinai. And the text that we have is one third of the text that was given to Hasina, the rest was not. So the Gemara says Torah Misina means a different thing. That just like Moshe Rabbeinu says in the beginning of Chumash Dvarim, Re'eli Marati Eschem Chukim Mimishpatim Kashat Zivani Hashem Elokoi. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I taught you the Torah the same way the Rabbanu Shalom taught me the Torah. Just like at Harsina, he taught me Be'ema Be'yira Be'reses of Aziyah. He was in the presence of the Shekhinah, so he was trembling. All the B'nai Yisrael were trembling. So to the Doris, when you transmit the Torah, the Doris has to be Be'ema Be'yira Be'reses of Aziyah. And the Gemara says, just like when Moshe Rabbeinu was at Harsinai, the Rabbanu Shalom didn't charge him tuition. He taught him for nothing. So Re'eli Marati Eschem Chukim Mishpatim Kashat Zivani Hashem Elokai. I didn't charge you any money. When you transmit the Torah to the next generation, you're not allowed to charge any money. The Gemara says Torah Misinai means we're supposed to continue to transmit the Torah to the next generation in the same way it was given at Harsina. But it doesn't mean that the chiyuv to keep the mitzvahs today was because of the bris at Harsina, nor does it mean that the text of the Torah is all from Harsina. One third of the text is Harsina, two thirds of the text are not. It means the way we learn the Torah, the way we transmit the Torah to the next generation, supposed to be similar to the way it was given at Harsina.
But in first Rashi and Bahar, go the same for the same of Sinai for Rabbi Akiva.
Rashi quotes, Rashi has adopted the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, right? But the Gemara there in the first Perek HaGiga makes a major machlekes hatanoim about it, with a few, not so many nafkeminas, a few nafkeminas. Whether the three mahaduras of the Torah, the first and the second, said everything that it... The first and the second said everything that appeared in the third, but it's just it was a different text. Oh no, Rabbi Shmuel has the first text was incomplete, and sometimes the second text was complete, sometimes not, and sometimes there was some mitzvahs. The third text was the complete. So the Ban Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the Aboim Shana, take that text, that's the more complete text. But sometimes it was the first, sometimes it was the second, sometimes the third. So Rashi and Chumash, the beginning of Bahar, quotes the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. No, the first text had everything from A to Z. And the second text was different, had also everything from A to Z. So that's what the Chazon Ish points out. So we don't understand, why was there a need for three different texts if everything said the exact same thing? So that's a problem. But this was a major machlokes in the days of the Tanoim.
Professor, so all three times the entire 613 mitzvahs were given?
With all the details, yeah.
So what's the whole discussion about Kima v'Kiblo Hayhudim, that we say that the first time we were given the Torah was under duress, so therefore only later. But turns out we were given it three times in the very beginning. So the first time was under duress. What about the two right afterwards?
Assumed also everything was under duress. They really didn't want it. The matter says that the duress was really on the Torah Shebal Peh. The Torah Shebal Peh wasn't so difficult to observe, but they didn't want to accept the Torah Shebal Peh. So the Torah Shebal Peh was finally accepted by Ratzon later, in the days of Mordechai v'Esther. Rav Goldvich, Zochan Lebracha, the Rosh Yeshiva from Kerem Yavna, was fond of saying over from Abchaim Balozhin on Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah has an expression, Shnaim Shiyoshvim Ve'im Menem Divrei Torah is a Moshe of Leitzin. Why is it a Moshe of Leitzin? So the Abchaim Balozhin writes, Shnaim Shiyoshvim, each one is learning on his own. He's learning, but ein benem devet, not talking to each other. Each one machleit tzanis, no one holds from the other one. That's terrible. That's a Moshe relates. The ikir hatzlocha in learning, the Gemara says, is the Mishnayos say, when there's pilpula shel Torah, when people work together. The Mishnah quotes in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah quotes Rav Loza ben Aruch. So there's a Gemara in the end of Shabbos says that the Gemara pins all the blame on the women. So the Gemara says Rav Loza ben Aruch's wife enjoyed olam hazeh. So they once went on vacation to a resort area, and she said, this is Gevaldik, this is Olam Hazeh, let's move over here. Why should we live there in Bnei Brak and Me'ashorim? Let's come over here. So he said, but I'm in learning. The yeshiva is in Bnei Brak. So she said, you're the Gadol HaDor. They'll have to follow you. Rabbi Lozer ben Aruch was the Mayan HaMizgabi. He was Givaldik. Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus was the Borsu, Chedim HaBetipo. He was the Boki. Rabbi Lozer ben Aruch was the Mayan HaMizgabi. He was the Baal Mechadish. So she said, you move here and the Talmidim will come. So he moved there. Talmidim didn't come. And he forgot all of his learning. And then the Gemara tells the literal translation of the words. Then he got an aliyah, Hachorish Hazalachem. He couldn't even read the Ivra, and he read Hachorish Hayalibam. He couldn't read Hachorish Hazalachem. So the Darshanim say it does mean that he couldn't read the Ivra. He realized that he was Hachorish Hayalibam. His heart had become deaf and dumb, like Hachorish. His heart, he lost his Kayach Halima. Then the Gemara says the Talmidim were mispala for him, and he got back into the swing of learning. So the Gemara says that's why the Gemara gives a historical interpretation of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. That's why Rabbi Lozer ben Aruch is the one who says, "Have you goy lemme kam Torah? Make sure you stay in a place where the Talmid Chachamim." And you shouldn't say "Val Torma shehi tova acharecha." Don't say they're going to have to come to me to learn because I'm the God Lador. And it says, "No shechave recha yikaimuhu biyadecha." The only way to be matzlich in learning is if you have pilpul shel Torah. People work in learning together. We have a chabur every Tuesday night. We learn together. Ein ator nikten sele bechabrusa. So that's where Rav Goldwicht always used to be makwit to say, shnayim shiyoshim, ein beneim divetor. The two people, it's no good if each one is learning on his own. They have to learn together. The Gemara said, just like if you want to make a big fire, so you're just going to light a little match, it won't be able to burn a log. So you have to have little matches will light little newspapers, whatever, and then little things make a bigger fire. So too, young Talmidim, if they all work together, they'll make a big shalheves, they'll make a big fire. Talmid Chacham have to be mechadidim zezeh, they have to work together to have to pull a shaltera together, and that's how you develop the learning. We should be matzliach this Shavuos and every Shavuos to steig in learning. That's part of the job of Bnei Yisrael. Good job.